Take your Bibles again tonight. We're going to try to finish up Luke chapter 21. We've been in it for the past couple of weeks. Remember, it started out with Jesus and the disciples in the temple, and he called attention to the poor widow that cast in two mites and said she's given more than anybody else because she's given of her want. She has nothing left. And then we talked about Jesus and the disciples coming out of the temple and some of the disciples noticing the beauty of the temple. And the temple was a beautiful building. It was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, as it says there in Luke chapter 21. And the Jews and the disciples who were Jews very much took pride in the temple because it was a very beautiful edifice to their God. When some of the disciples pointed out the beauty of the temple, Jesus made a statement that was very startling to the disciples. He said in verse 6, "As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And in response to that declaration by Christ, the disciples ask him two questions. In verse 7, "Master, when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" Now, we started talking about Jesus' answer last week, and we divided his response into five different parts. We talked about the first two parts last week. In the first part of his response, he told the disciples, look, there's going to be many false signs come. And he said, beware. Don't chase after the false Christ. And when you see things happen in the earth, when you see things happen in the heavens, don't automatically assume that those are the signs of the destruction of Jerusalem or my second coming, because those things happen as a normal course of nature. And so he said, just beware. Don't be deceived by those false signs. And then he spent some time talking to them about the tribulation that they're going to face as they serve him. Again, tribulation that will come from the fact that they're a Christian. Tribulation that will come because they're trying to share the gospel that Jesus was going to commission them to share. Hadn't done it yet, but he was going to do it. And he says, you're going to be persecuted. There's going to be hardships come into your life. Don't back down. Don't waver. You stand strong. And then tonight, in verse, we're going to start in verse 20. We're going to talk about the last three parts of his answer, which include the destruction of Jerusalem, his second coming, and then the last part. He just gives some general instructions about how to watch and be on guard. And so tonight we start in verse 20, where Jesus says, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh." When you see your city, Jerusalem, surrounded by armies, know that the destruction that I talked about, where one stone won't be left on another, know that it's getting close. You see, the disciples still thought that Jesus right then was going to set up his earthly kingdom. They thought he was going to set himself up as king. He was going to sit on David's throne. He was going to restore Jewish rule to the earth. And they thought that Jerusalem was going to be the capital city, as it will be when he does that. But they thought then that that Jerusalem was going to be the capital city of his kingdom, and he was going to rule from Jerusalem. And so they thought Jerusalem itself, was as that capital city of his kingdom, was going to become more glorious. It was going to be lifted up more than it even was in their eyes. And Jesus said, no, that's not going to happen now. It'll happen one day, but in the near future, within this generation, it's going to be destroyed. The city's going to be destroyed. The temple is going to be destroyed. He didn't set a date, but if you look at what he says in here, it implies that it is going to be soon. And we know that it happened. And I think I misquoted last week. I said 90 AD. It actually happened in 70 AD. And so it was going to be within 40 years or 70 years of when Jesus was talking to the disciples. So he says in verse 21, again, it's coming. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it, the city, depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter there into. He said, when you see the army start to surround the city of Jerusalem, know that its destruction is near, and flee. Get out. If you're in the city, get out before the enemies encircle the city. Once they encircle the city, it'll be too late to get out. If you're in Judea, if you're in the country, then you flee to the mountains. And if you're out, if you're in the country, don't come back. Don't come back into the city. Nobody outside should enter in. Verse 22, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. It'll be a time where God takes vengeance on the Jews. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 23, that Jerusalem would be destroyed to avenge all the Old Testament martyrs, all those that tried to deliver the message of God and were killed, martyred for delivering that message, that Jerusalem, the capital city of the Jews, because of that, would be destroyed. And Jesus was telling his disciples, that's what's coming, that destruction is coming. He says in verse 23, but woe unto them that are with child, woe unto them that are pregnant, and to them that give suck in those days, that are still breastfeeding their little babies. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon the people. And they shall fall, verse 24, by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So many will be killed. The Jewish historian Josephus recorded that there were over 1,100,000 people killed when Jerusalem was destroyed. They estimated that over 100,000 were led away captive when Jerusalem was destroyed. And notice what it says, Jerusalem shall be trodden down until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Couple different thoughts as to what that means by the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. One of it is that God has set a time, a length of that vengeance, of that punishment. And so he was going to use Gentiles to bring about that punishment. And again, God had a set time that they were going to be judged. And so it would go on until that time was reached or that time was expired. A second thought is that it would go on until the Gentiles gained the same privileges before God. In other words, hearing the gospel and becoming one of God's children through the gospel. That the time of the Gentiles was to be fulfilled was when the gospel was presented to them and they had the same relationship with God through Jesus Christ that the Jews thought they had through Abraham but needed to claim again through Jesus Christ just like the Gentiles. So that's the destruction of Jerusalem. Now in verse 25, Jesus starts to answer the question about his second coming. Not the rapture, but his second coming when he will come to set up his kingdom on earth. He says in verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. So there will be disturbances in the heavens. There will be disturbances in the earth, not only from a natural standpoint, in other words, the oceans and the mountains and the different things, but a distress of nations. And those disturbances that happen in nature and those disturbances that happen in earthly governments were going to cause fear in the heart of people. Verse 26, men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the power powers of heaven shall be shaken. You know, most of us, when we look at the earth around us, we think it is secure. We don't ever think of anything happening to the earth. I mean, it's our foundation. It's a solid foundation. And we don't think of it ever going away. You know, those people that live in California on the fault line, they might think more about it than we do because, you know, the experts predict the big earthquake is coming and it's going to fall into the ocean. I don't know about that, if that's going to happen or not. But most people, when we think about the earth, this planet that which we live on, we just think we automatically think it's going to last forever. I mean, it's a foundation. But Jesus says, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. In that day, it will be shaken. In that day, what we think is a firm foundation is not going to be firm anymore. Verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When those things come, they are going to be able to see Jesus coming back. He's going to come back with power and great glory. And again, the language that he uses, the verb tenses that he uses suggest that some of the people that he was talking to at that time were going to be alive to see the destruction of Jerusalem. But if you look at the tenses when he's talking here about him coming back, it implies that they might not be. Now, again, Jesus taught his followers. He taught his disciples. He teaches us through his word that all of us, all the time, need to be watchful, that he could come back at any moment. And we need to live in that air of expectancy that he could come back at any moment. We need to watch. I've told you before, my pastor, when I was a kid, he testified many times. He'd get up every morning. He'd go to a window and look toward the eastern sky and pray as he started out the day, Lord Jesus, are you coming today? And then he'd say the same thing that the Apostle John said in the book of Revelation, come quickly, come quickly. And we need to live with that air of expectancy that Jesus could come at any time. And when he comes, people, the whole world is going to know. Now, when he comes back to get us, he's going to sneak us out of here. I mean, we're going to be raptured. We're just going to leave. And, yeah, people will eventually notice that we're gone, but it's going to happen in an instant, and we're going to be gone. But when he comes back the second time, the whole world is going to know that he's coming back. It's not going to be hidden. It's going to be sudden, and everybody in the world is going to see it, but it's not going to be hidden. Everybody's going to know. And verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now again, Jesus never spoke about a time. Here and in other places in the Gospels, he talked about what would be going on when he was going to come back and set up his kingdom. So he never talked about a time. He talked about the conditions that would be going on. He said, for example, in Matthew 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. He said one of the things that's going to be true when I come back is that the world is going to hear the gospel. It's going to go to all nations. And with the technology that we have today, I believe that's happening today. I believe the gospel is being preached around the world to all nations. And again, he wasn't setting a time. He was just saying that's going to happen before I come back. Now, when he says, when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Redemption from three things. From first of all, the burdens and the trials that Brother Leroy talked about in his testimony. The tribulations that Jesus warned his disciples about earlier in this chapter are going to be ended. We're going to be redeemed from all those things. We're going to be redeemed from those that don't believe in Christ and have persecuted Christians for their stand for Christ. We're going to be redeemed from all that. And then we're going to be, our bodies are going to be redeemed. Our souls were redeemed when we got saved. But when he comes back, we're going to get a new body. Sharon, won't that be a good thing? We're going to get a new body. I could probably look around the room and say that just about to everybody tonight. We're going to get a new body. It'll be like the body that probably that Jesus had after his resurrection. But I'm looking forward to that new body. We'll leave this body of aches and pains and other things that we endure while we're down here and get that new body. So look up. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. Now, in verse 29 down through 36, he just gives some general instructions. And he says in verse 29, "And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." He said, hey, in the summertime, when the trees start to put on their leaves, you know that summer's coming. I heard it's supposed to be 90 degrees on Sunday. So we know that summer's coming. It's going to. I think it's the 21st this year. Summer's coming. But Jesus said, when you see the leaves begin to put on the trees, you know that summer's coming. Now, when you see these things begin to happen, just know I'm coming back. In verse 32, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." And again, I believe in that verse, he was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. He was talking about, and again, he didn't name any names and didn't set any dates, but he said, within this generation, you're going to see this city destroyed. You're going to see every stone tore down. You're going to see the city tore down. You're going to see the temple tore down. Now, again, the Jews thought that the temple and their city, I mean, it would last forever. And so Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." If you think the temple and Jerusalem will never be destroyed, then you probably think that heaven and earth will never be destroyed. But I'll tell you, in my time, even they will be destroyed. The thing that will never be destroyed is my word. The word of God, the Bible, shall never be destroyed. "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged or overburdened or covered with surfeiting." Surfeiting is, I actually had to look up that word. It's the nausea that comes after a person spends a night in drinking. Okay, so it's the hangover. It's the results of being drunk. So be not overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Cares of this life may not be sin, but they may be worries about the things of this life. So that day come upon you unawares. In other words, don't get caught up in sin, and don't get caught up in the things, the cares of the world. Because if you get caught up in sin, if you get caught up in the cares of the world, your heart may be covered with those things, and you might not see the day coming. You're going to be able to see the day coming, but if you get caught up in all those things, it might come on you unawares. For it's going to come, it says in verse 35, "as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." It's not going to just come in the Middle East. It's not just going to come in one part of the earth. It's going to, when Jesus comes, every bit of the earth, every person on the earth will know that he has come back. They'll know. It'll be it'll be sudden, and it'll be universal. So he says in verse 36, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Now again, in that verse, I think he's talking about both things. I think he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, and then I think he's talking about his second coming. So he says, "Watch ye therefore, be aware, pray, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass." Remember, he said, hey, if you're in Jerusalem, when the army starts to surround it? Get out. Leave. If you're in the country, flee to the mountains. If you're in the country, don't come into the city. So what he's saying is, look, don't get caught up in the things of the world. Don't get caught up in sin so you miss the sign and end up being destroyed, being killed when Jerusalem is destroyed. And then the second part, watch and pray that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man when he comes back. In other words, make sure you know Christ as your Savior. Make sure you're living your life in a way that's pleasing to him. So that when he comes back, I've often thought, I would love to be in church preaching when the Lord comes back. I'd love to be raptured from this spot right here. Of course, we're going to come back with him when he comes back the second time to set up his kingdom. But when he comes back to get us, I don't want to be doing anything that I'm going to have to explain when I get to heaven why I was doing what I was doing. I want to be doing exactly what he wants me to be doing when I take that flight to heaven. Then we'll just read the last two verses and finish up this chapter. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. I would have hoped if I lived in that day, I would be one of those that would come early in the morning to the temple to hear him. I do that today. I don't get to go to the temple and hear him. But early in the morning, I get to open this book, and I get to read it, and I get to hear from him. And I'm so grateful that God has given us his word that we can hear from him, not only early in the morning, but throughout the day, late at night, whatever time the Holy Spirit leads you to read the Bible. I'm so grateful that we can hear from him all throughout the day. Thank you for being here tonight. The men will be praying. The ladies will be praying. If you'd like to join them, please do that. Let's stand together, and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.